Yeah, but generally speaking, that, except for, you know, what happened with the car battery, there was a guy there while we were waiting on the rollback to come. He was an older fella, and he was walking his dog, and he would come by about every 10 minutes and just fuss. Point his fingers and, you know, wave his hands. He pointed the car and he pointed us. And I have no idea what the man was saying. But just from body language and, you know, his elevated voice level, he had an issue with the car broke down or us sitting on the bench. I don't know what his deal was, really. But about third or fourth time when he came around, he just was not getting a response out of me. Because, I don't want to cause no problems. So I just, you know, I didn't say anything. Was just pretty passive. But when he came back around the fourth time and started in on my wife, who was sitting on the bench, that got terminated real quick, and I let him know real quick. That's the line, and you don't want to cross it, and that was it. It was over. But if he was looking for a response from me, I guess he got it. But I just, you know, I wasn't going to tolerate that. I don't know what he was thinking. And still to this day, don't know what the issue was. But I couldn't deal with that kind of stuff all the time. And I got a brother-in-law who lives in Manhattan. He's a architect. And we used to go up there once a year and visit with him. And I just could not. There's no way I could do city life. I mean, I get the attraction and why people want to do it, but no way. There's no way I could do that. No way. Go ahead, Kurt, pick it up.
Mike, this is Kurt Greenville. Chad, I appreciate all that, and I just want you to know that I copy and track you on every bit of that. This difference between city life and country life, that's why I'm a country boy from stem to stern, and from top of my head to the bottom of my souls. It's good to go to the city every now and then, but there's no place like home, no place like the country. And like I say, there's a place in the world for the French, and their culture and the snails that they insist on. If they don't have enough ketchup in the house for those snails, then, they'll continue to suck. I apologize if you already told us. I'm sure you probably already covered this section. But I was interested in hearing how the beach was there in Normandy, and what your impression was and what your initial perceptions were, and feelings and sensations when you showed up on Normandy Beach, Chad.
So, I went to two beaches, Utah and Omaha. And I have come to realize after today and having some rest, working through the whole jet lag thing, that some things Not many. But some things, there's no words to describe. I can try to describe what I saw and what I felt. But separating, I went and talked with my mother about it today, as a matter of fact. And she asked me the same question. And I told her that I couldn't, from the emotion side, there's no way I can describe, as there's no words for it. And she said, okay, well, just take the emotion out and tell me what you saw. And I said, okay, well, I saw sand, and I saw a bunch of rocks, and I saw some concrete bunkers and some buildings and restaurants on the beach. And she said, no, that's not what I mean now. Tell me what you saw. And I said, no, Mama, that's not what you said. You said for me to describe what I saw and take the emotion out of it. So when you take the emotion out of the equation, that's what it is, a bunch of sand and rocks. But there's much more to it. And when you put what I felt when I saw, I'm just going to tell you that this has been over a week now that I have struggled with this question that you ask, and the answer right now, and I think it is going to always be, as far as from my perspective, is there's no words in our language to describe that. No words. The closest that you can get would be the typical response: duty, honor, country, and determination. And those can be boring words. They are great words, but they can be boring. Because it's just, I don't know. There's no justice there, is what I'm trying to say. So, in other words, Kurt, I apologize for dragging this out, is that I was so overwhelmed with what the beach was that I did not know what to say, and did not, me or my wife, just when we got to Omaha, what got us was the guide that we had photographs that I had never seen before in the United States. And I guess they were photographs from the people on the beaches of Normandy. I'll be right back. Hang on. KO4NUE. He took us to a specific spot on the beach. And I didn't realize it at the time, but he had a walking stick kind of thing. And he said, come and stand right here. I need you to stand right here. And I just thought that was a little weird. Didn't understand, you got all this beach and you want us to stand right here. Well, after about 5 minutes of talking to him, I realized why he did that. So he shows us a photograph, a copy of a 8x10 photograph that was taken on D-Day. And I mean, without trying to be grotesque or anything, I mean, they were just bodies stacked against the wall. A lot of them, like firewood, pretty much. And I realized, looking at the photograph, that that's where the photograph was taken, just about where we were standing. And the beach wall is, 20 feet away. beach of sand. It was, oh my goodness, you know. And I mean, how do you respond to that? You know, how do you put that in words? I can't. I can say the typical duty honor country, but that's not justice either. You know, so. So that's my response is there are no words, and I hope I'm not sounding rude, but that's where I'm at with it, Kurt. KO4NUV, KO4RMM. Go ahead, Kurt.
Process that, sir, certainly is that if I want, am interested in more, then I'll just have to buy the plane ticket out there myself and walk through the surf and up to the beach myself and see what, and listen to what it has to say to me. But I appreciate you making that journey and making that effort. And so copy that, sir. Copy that, all of it. Chad, KO4RMM, KO4NV, pick up the
phone. And here, you still want to listen? Anybody else want in? If not, then I'll go on to the rest of the response. Let me break here if anybody wants to jump in. Okay, so let me make sure I got this, Kurt. Other interesting fact is that, and was not aware of this at all, that the invasion force on Omaha used, like the other beaches, a Higgins boat or a LCI. But there were two types of Higgins boats. One is the one you see on the movies, which is, you know, a steel hull with a steel ramp. And, you know, that carries, I want to say it was 31 people with all their gear. That was the way our guide explained it to us, that was called a Type C carrier Higgins that was made out of, you know, metal welded together. And then you had Type B, which was made from plywood. It had a steel door on the front, but the rest of the hull was plywood. And that's a problem because the accounts, the written accounts that we read and I saw from the people who witnessed D-Day from different vantage points on the beach, which would have been the French people, their accounts were at Omaha that what the opposing force would do was basically, you know, poke a hole in a bunch of holes in the plywood. And next thing you know, if you do that at the right yardage, in other words, if you're able to disable a craft and sink it in shallow water, that forces the men to get out. So that increases the amount of ground that you have to cover. And if they sink it, you know, 400 yards out into the water, excuse me, now you got 400 yards of water you got to move through before you can even get to the beach to try to do the assault. And the accounts that we read or saw, or both, was that the infantry unit that was there on the opposing forces had just been rotated out and was not a crack unit. Now, some of what I heard was very disappointing, but it's a different side. It's a different perspective. And the written accounts that we saw was that it was not a crack German infantry unit. I forget the number of the unit that was there, but it was 553 German soldiers along a 61-mile beach. And that 61 miles was cut up into, I don't know, Juneau, Sword, Omaha, Utah, blah, blah, blah. So you just think about that for a minute. 61 miles. So that's from my house to basically Pickens. It's not like in the movies where you think, okay, well, you got a 300-yard area that you got boundaries, and you got 300 yards that, you know, distance to go up the beach. It wasn't like that. Omaha was the what we read was 1.2 miles wide. But what they would do would take the NG-42s and sink the Type B boats and slow them down in the water. And then they would take the machine gun and just take their bolt action and just take their time. And that, you know, that was not easy to listen to, but that was their perspective on what happened. And at some point, it was the what we read from the accounts were, at some point it was leisurely until obviously artillery started flying, and that changed things. But when you see any kind of movie about Omaha or D-Day, you know, you see them storming the beach and you see people falling, and 11 minutes later, they're in St. Mary Glace, and, you know, they've liberated the town. Well, the reality of it was Omaha was, the whole thing was over 9 hours. 9 hours of carnage, pretty much. And I don't know, that just, you know, I couldn't imagine that. Let me take a break here and see if anybody wants to comment up to this point. I'll stay professional here. KO4NUE and KO4RMM. thing is that there were four draws, which are kind of valleys that come in out of the high ground into the beaches. And that was the objective, was to get control of the draw, because that's where the roadbeds were. And once you get control of that, then you've got access to St. Mary Glees, the town. And they were just, you know, so heavily defended that... So on Utah, there was a group of men that was from one town in either Kentucky or Tennessee, I forget what it was. I'm starting to show my tired, but there were 30 men from a town that were in the unit, and they were all on one boat from the same town, and one of them survived, one out of 30. We saw some of the telegrams that were sent to that town to notify. Now, you just think about that for a minute. You got a small little town, let's say like Graycourt, and you're sending 30 telegrams or 29 telegrams to a small town that, hey, you know, you just lost your dad, or you lost your aunt, or, I mean, your uncle, or, just, I don't know, Kurt. It was just, you know, it was not easy to listen to. And technically, the right thing to say, which I hesitate to do because I don't want it to sound rude, technically the right thing to say when someone asks you, did you have a good time, the right answer would be no, because of what you're looking at. You know, that's the way I look at it. But I just, because all of my family has said, hey, did you have a good time? And I just, you know, with my mother, me and my mother think the same lines. And I told her no, I did not. And she said, well, you know, what does that mean? And I just said, well, I didn't enjoy it because of what we were looking at. Because I don't want to say, yes, I enjoyed that. You understand what I'm trying to say? So I said, no, I did not. Let me explain my answer. And when, you know, you put it like that you get it, you know. But QL4NUE, QL4RMM. Go ahead, Kurt.
RMM, QL4NUE, chat. I think I do get a little bit of it. I'm not going to ever say I get it all. I want to leave some room in there for just not having been there myself. It sounds to me that you were maybe not at least the Normandy portion of your trip, maybe not there as much as for recreation as you were there. We're on a mission, or a personal mission with purpose. And when you blend in those aspects or those parameters, purpose and mission, then you know, the idea of having a great time or having frivolity or fun is not the sole or primary objective, so to speak. So
I kind of get that from what you're saying. If I have a question on the tip of my tongue, I think it may be, is Chad, was your experience there on the beaches, how did that stack up to what your expectations were prior to arriving there, prior to putting your feet in the sand, as it were, prior to putting your person on those beaches? What was there, or if there is a comparison, how would you therefore describe it?
So I think that's a good question, and this is kind of the way I'm going to answer that. So we went to Utah Beach first, and looked at it totally, but then went to Omaha second. When you compare geographically both of those areas, even though it's on the same coastline, totally different geographical, totally different geography. And that was some of the complications with Omaha, because Omaha had I don't know how to describe the geological feature, but the sand, the earth underneath, it rose and fell like a wave because of where it is in the cliff. And those sand dunes is what bogged down some of the landing craft. So my expectations when I got to the beach was for it to be pretty emotional and pretty intense. And it was, but not to the point to where it was so uncomfortable I didn't want to look at it or listen to the guide. So my expectations were high that this would be an emotional event to be on the beaches. But the reality of it was, it was just a beach. The day I was there, it was just a beach. But after we saw just the beaches and people out on the beach in the surf enjoying the beach, we left there and went to the National Cemetery. Now that is a different story, because it is perched right up above Omaha. And I did not expect the cemetery to be as big of a deal as the beaches. But it was, for me, it was flip-flopped. I expected the beaches to be a pretty emotional event, and it was. I'm not detracting from that. But when you get to the cemetery and you get to see what was left because of the beaches, that was pretty intense. And that was an intensity that I was not expecting. Some of it I didn't know what to expect, because I'd been to Arlington before. But this was much, much different than Arlington in a lot of ways. So I hope that kind of answers your questions. It's a little complicated, because when you go to a site like that, you expect this. But the reality was, it got flip-flopped for me. Was, well, this is not too bad. I can handle being here and handle seeing this. There weren't, you know, soldiers laying up against the wall when I was there either. But when we got in the vehicle and drove, you know, a mile on top of the hill, and then looked down from the cemetery across the grave markers straight down onto Omaha. Now, that was, I wasn't expecting that at all. And, you know, if you want some descriptions of what I experienced at the cemetery, I definitely can do that, because that's pretty intense. But, you know, if that's kind of what you're looking for, I can tell you exact in detail what I saw in my mind's eye, what I saw with my real eyes, and what I took from that experience, because I don't think I'll ever forget it, ever. KO4NUE, KO4RMM. Go ahead, Kirk.
NUE, KO4RMM, Chad, I really appreciate that. I don't, and again, I want to thank you and issue a thanks and an apology at the same time. I don't mean to ask you or try to lead you into areas that are just too heavy to get into. I just want to, any question I ask is a blend of ignorance on my part and also respect for you on my part. So I wasn't there. I also didn't serve 27 years in the armed forces, so I do not have that perspective. So I know that. My take on this is very limited in those factors and just whatever's out there for public consumption. If I have any other questions about it, I guess it would be, Chad, what would you say to the idea that, you know, certainly there was a tremendous amount of blood laid on the Liberty's altar in terms of the sacrifice laid down at Omaha. But is it any consolation at all to know that the operation was a success and it was a toehold into Fortress Europe, and it did lead to the utter destruction of the Nazis and the German army in Europe?
By the question, in my opinion, you're asking me, in my opinion, was it worth it? Is that, if I can boil it down a little bit, am I correct in saying that?
Well, Chad, I guess so, but I don't know if any, it depends on who you ask. You ask the mother or the sweetheart of one of the fallen there that left their life and were buried in the cemetery there, or if they, someone who was maimed, losing limbs and leaving, returning to America completely altered and living out the remains of their life as a completely different person, you're probably going to get a different response there. And that's all, and they're both correct, I suppose, in my book. But would it be worse? I guess the question would be, would it be worse or would it be harder to process if you knew that was, if we were thrown back into the sea and turned away and we laid down over 5,000 bodies, I think it was around 5,000 at Omaha Beach or somewhere thereabouts. I know Omaha was the worst of the four beaches in terms of bloodshed, in terms of KIA and WIA. Of at least that's what they say, or what the history puts out for consumption. What say you, Chad, as to the fact that we did ultimately take that beach? We did ultimately silence those guns. We did ultimately own that land and then ultimately took over France. It led to the disaster of the Falaise Gap for the Nazis who were utterly butchered by the Allied forces, and then we followed them all the way into Germany, and you know the rest. What are your comments to those notes of history?
today and visited with a good friend of mine. He's a fella ham. His name is Roland, K1CJW. He's 92 years old. He's a World War II vet. He did not serve in Normandy, but they did send him to Japan in preparation of invasion of Japan before the nuclear bombs were dropped. And he summed it up like this. So we had a discussion in length about what I saw today. And his statement to me was, him being 92 years old, that I still do not understand how one man can have that much power and create that much death and destruction. So, was it worth it? Absolutely. Because our citizens did not have to go through the tyranny and terror that the European countries did. So, without understanding, without knowing what America would be like now if the Nazis had succeeded, the real answer to that is we just don't know, because we obviously are not, you know, under a Nazi regime now. We basically took the fight there to keep it off of our soil. And that takes some investment to do that. And that investment was what's left at the cemetery. So, in order to answer your question, was it worth it, let me tell you what I saw. What I saw with my own eyes, not read in a book or saw on a documentary. I saw with my own eyes that when you enter the parking lot, there's no signs posted that say, no loud noises and be quiet. There were no signs that dictated that. But that's the way it was. The French, most of the visitors there that day were French. And they had their children there. They had 3-year-olds and 5-year-olds and 8s and 10s and teenagers. And the teenagers that were there, this group of teenagers there, very quiet. There was no running, no celebration. It was quiet and respectful. So you walk a little trail when you enter the area. You go through the reflection pond or reflection pool. And when you stand in front of the reflection pool, it is a rectangular structure that holds water. But when you stand in front of it, you can see directly to the ocean as if it ties the ocean to the cemetery. It looks like that the reflection pond is part of the ocean, and the ocean is 2 miles away or a mile away, whatever. Once you get through that already puts a statement in your mind that, okay, well, I see what they're doing here. They're, and you don't have to mentally struggle to make that connection. It's that obvious. So you walk by the reflection pond on a little asphalt trail, and what you see is grounds that are immaculate. There's no damaged trees or dead growth or trash, or the grass is perfect, the trees are perfect. And as you walk along the trail, here's what I saw. So I saw a man and a woman, obviously husband and wife, who had a couple kids. One of them was being kind of bratty, and, you know, just you could just tell. I mean, he's a child. He wouldn't be there or was needed a nap or whatever. And the dad, he handled that immediately and pulled that child off to the side and got that attitude in check real quick. Now, this was French now, French people, not Americans. The second thing that I saw was a young girl who dropped a lollipop. She chewed the lollipop off the candy off the lollipop and just threw the lollipop stick on the trail. And the brother, I assume it was her brother, who was older, went up and said something to the mother, and the mother had a look of dismay on her face, and the brother grabbed the daughter by the hand and took her back to the lollipop stick, and I don't know what he said to her, but she understood after what her brother told her, and he was probably 10, 12 years old maybe, and he did that on his own. Now, that's important to know, and said what he said to her in French, and she picked that lollipop stick up and took it back up to her mother, and her mother took it and put it in her pocketbook, and then the mother had a few choice words to say to her too. And there's no signs posted that says don't throw lollipop sticks on the ground. So when you, for me in my eyes, when I saw that younger, undeveloped mind of a child understand the concept of what this place was, the parents were obviously trying to have a teaching moment. So let me break here. I'll be right back. On down to the trail, you begin to see images of the crosses in the cemetery. As you go on around the corner, Omaha Beach is visible and is to your right. And as you go around the corner, you get to see the crosses open up. So here is, was, keeping in mind the question, was it worth it? So the French gave that tract of land to the United States. That is United States property. On the property, all of the grass and all of the trees and flowers and shrubs, they're all American species. There's no French plants there. It's all American grass and American trees, and I saw some Virginia pine, I saw some jack pine, I saw some poplar, and you just, you know, you don't see that in France, or not those species of trees. So the symbolism there was, you know, hey, these guys gave everything, and this is where they're going to rest, and we're going to get as close to home as we can for them. So obviously, somebody thought it was worth it for them. And now, I mean, they're dead. They're not living anymore. As you go on around the corner, though, you get an opportunity to see the 150-foot flagpoles there, or 100-foot, whatever they are, big, huge flagpoles. They play taps every day, take the flags down every day, fold them every day. And the people doing this are French. not Americans, French. Most of the people that were there were French. So I definitely think they know. Obviously, they're there for a reason, and maybe they want to explore why, let me go see for myself what's here. And then you get to the actual memorial itself, which was extremely intense for me. That's where I started to lose my composure. And I was not the only one. That's the thing, is it was so striking that everybody was that way. And it was not uncommon to see French citizens crying because they understood what this was. And in the cemetery, you have one woman, five pairs of brothers, and most of the people that are buried there are 18 to 20 years old. Let me make sure if the radio's still working. Stand by. KO4NUE, KO4RMM. The center of the memorial, and there's a bronze statue, probably 30 to 40 feet high, maybe. And it is a naked young male who is, has standing on his tiptoes, kind of, and his hand is reaching for the sky. And the name of the statue, was American Youth Rising from the Waves. And it was obviously symbolic that, you know, they lost their life in that water. And it was just overwhelming to see that. And I'm not sure I saw any French citizens taking pictures or video either. I don't really recall. But when you are in the middle of that cemetery, your mouth is gaping open. Because it doesn't matter where you go in the cemetery, you're surrounded by those pure white crosses. And let me add, and let me be very clear about this, they are perfectly aligned. I mean perfect. You stand down and kneel down and look down, you see one cross, and they might be 100 behind it. If you look left to right, same way. But the place is properly maintained, and it is properly governed, and I don't think that there are any people that don't understand what that is. Now, I will add this, that there was a Viking river cruise, a group of people that came to visit. I did not like the way that they did that, but they weren't disrespectful at all. But they had, you know, a group of, you know, probably 30 people, and they all had little Viking river cruise tags on, and the leader was carrying a little signpost that said, "Hey, Viking river cruise." They came into the memorial with a group of flowers, dropped it at the flagpole, not didn't drop it, but laid it at the flagpole, and left. They were there maybe 10 minutes. And as far as I could tell, I don't know for sure, but the ones that I saw were English speaking and had on English, you know, American clothing. To me, that was not very respectful. Now, they did lay flowers, okay, but you didn't take the time to see the place and see the amount of effort that went into to build the place and to keep it maintained. It's just like, okay, we've got 15 minutes, let's do our deal, and we got to move on to the next memorial. To me, that was not respectful, but they weren't French. Every person that I saw there that was French, that I thought was French, it's a different situation. So I hope this hasn't been too long. I get long-winded sometimes, I guess, but this is a complicated question for me. And so, yes, depending on who it is, they might tell you a different story. But from what I saw with my eyes, with the French people and me being an American, I don't think that there was anybody in that cemetery who was struggling with the question, was it worth it? I hope that doesn't sound disrespectful to you, and I don't mean it to be that way. But if I had to sum it up in one word, yes. Yes, it was worth it. KO4NUE, KO4RMM.
4NUE, KO4RMM. I was really just hanging on every word you said. I just want to thank you, and thank you for taking that trip. Thank you for planning for it, saving for it. Incredibly surreal, incredibly vivid. Having not been there myself, I can only just appreciate the great descriptions you gave in terms of the an American veteran, a veteran, 27 years of service in our armed forces, going over there on your own volition, on your own will, your own dime, making the investment to go there and undergo that. I just hold with great reverence. Reverence is the word, I think, is the right word. Of what you did, of what you saw, of what you felt, of the price that America, of this country, laid down for the benefit of those people in there. And I think that you made the case incontrovertible case of the ultimate bottom line for the French. The French heart, the French consciousness, is that the French, regardless of what they might seem like in the city over some overpriced cutlery, you move out to Normandy, you move out to those beaches, move out to that sovereign American real estate for which we pay so dearly, that their actions say it all. So I don't want to cheapen any of your experience, from my limited perception. But I want to thank you for making the trip. I want to thank you for taking the time to do your dead level best to frame the thing into words and a description, which was outstanding, in my opinion. I think they're well taken, and my understanding is greatly enhanced. You're having been there, you're having gone out there. Chad, just want to let you know that for as much as I can, as a nasty civilian, I just want to thank you for taking that trip. I want to thank you for taking the time, and I want to thank you
again, moreover, for putting it into words and to sharing it with me and any other ears that are out there listening on the repeater of your experiences and the way that you process, the way that an American war veteran processes actual battlefields, a place of great sacrifice, and a place, ultimately, of great victory, because that's the bottom line. That is what happened. It was a great sacrifice, but it brought, indeed, a victory. I just want to thank you so much for what you did and the way you're putting your heart and mind into trying to get it across as best as you can to people like me out there. So I'm not, we'll try to leave on a light note. I just want to thank you again, Chad. It's all well taken, and I'm a better man for hearing your rendition of things tonight. I appreciate you enduring and tolerating my questions and putting it to me as you received it. So again, thanks, Chad. I don't want to belabor the issue any more than it needs to be. Thanks again.